This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the Tommy and Herta podcast with Larita Blewett.
Sorry, I'm yawning.
Fermanabace.
Okay, I don't mind that, but you hit me very fast.
Or Skull City.
And now I've got a brain freeze on what we should have.
Because I just think last week's name was very good, Hamilton Academicals, and thank you Tommy for...
Manor Hamilton
for agreeing on that.
Now, so...
Farmer what?
Fermanabace.
Fermanabace.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
I need to get my phone because I think it might ring.
As you know, it's important to break out into merchandise, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been discussing the topic of merchandise for the last couple of months and we're about to break the distribution of the podcast.
So we're about to break into the whole merchandise arena. And so what we decided to do is...
Anyone buy us any tickets for that match?
Apples, oranges, chocolates. So we got in contact. Now, this is... slightly off the beaten track,
right,
which is the best. Only,
of course it is.
Which is the only place to be is off the beaten track. Because if the track you're on is beaten, that means it's bet.
Yes,
and that's no place for people to be walking.
Very profound, Tommy.
In bet places,
that's great.
So we decided to get into the whole aromatic candle business, and we contacted a... what are they called?
A candle...
is makers. It a sommelier? A sommelier... remember Johnny Depp?
A candle tour.
Where he invented perfume. Remember that Johnny Depp and he invented perfume when he was in France and he was...
We're like Gwyneth Paltrow now. We've got our own...
The book was called Perfume. It was about that child who roamed the streets of Paris as a street kid.
Maybe if you read the piece of paper, it might say it.
So, I think it's a sommelier anyway.
Rita, I was just
telling... is that not a
person from Somalia? Yeah. No. So, what we have is we've three candles...
oh, this is brilliant.
There's a lovely smell here this morning and the box isn't even open.
That's because I was smoking a cigar in here yesterday and it was fairly mank, so I had to do a big job on getting this habitable for
you. We should be videoing this.
So so we got three candles in and we have to decide. Now, each candle has three smells.
Oh.
Okay? And each of the smells is to represent one of us.
The smell.
We'll have to
Hector. The smell of Hector.
Okay, I'll just say, just on the whole Hector thing, there was a phenomenal response last week to your Outlaws. And I just want to say something that somebody, we, myself and Rita, missed it entirely.
Did we?
In the talking about Hector's aunts and uncles.
Yes.
We missed it completely, but somebody had the fucking, the vision to see it. We didn't see it.
What?
So Hector's cousin that you phoned... is what's his first name?
Edward.
Ned.
Don't start again, please.
No, but I'm just unusual because his surname...
stop it!
No.
Stop this laughter!
What?
What's his surname?
Ned Ward.
Edward Ward.
Edward Ward?
don't.
Ed Ward Ward.
I had to ring. I had to ring all.
That's very good. Ed Ward Ward.
I did. I have to tell on that follow on, just on that follow on.
There's been a lot of anti rays though.
Yeah, there were a lot of anti rays. And on the follow on, I rang Tommy during the week. We were just crying with laughter again. And I rang you, and you were crying with laughter still after the podcast. But I said I had to ring all my cousins on the ward side just to make sure that they were okay, that anti ray gun public and anti ray gun viral.
And stock exchange.
And, and that they were okay talking about it because she was a great woman and it brought a great. They loved it. They really enjoyed it. And Ned went, well, I'll tell you that day. That night, the wardrobe fell on top of me and we smashed my arm. Auntie Anne brought him to the hospital that night.
Right.
And it was so funny because he said when he got to the hospital in Nav and in the casualty, your one goes, well, what happened here? About 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. Well, that wardrobe fell on you. Okay, right, give us the, we'll fill out this form. Your name, Edward Ward. And your father's name, Cormac Ward. And your mother's name, Ray. And he says, what's your mother's name? He said, Ray Ward. He goes, you have two fathers now, have you? So, I know, it was good.
Wow, this is very exciting. We should be the reveal.
So the first smell, so choose the smell here. First one is whiskey, tobacco.
But we don't know, you have to open them.
Yeah, but no, it says it here. Whiskey, tobacco, and then oud and lemon.
Oh.
All together in the one.
Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. The second one then is rainwater, driftwood and wood smoke.
It sounds like, they sound like three boats pulled into Clifton.
And then the last one is cedarwood, oak moss and pine needles. Well, so if you to choose, Rita, would that be the rainwater, the driftwood or the wood smoke?
The wood smoke.
Hector?
Rainwater.
So I'm so rainwater Kyogan.
You've got the bad
rainwater
one.
Rainwater Kyogan. It sounds like a... What's that thing about your poor name?
Native American. Yeah.
What's your pet's first
wood smoke blues and driftwood Tiernan. Okay, and then whiskey, tobacco and oud and lemon. Larita, what would you like to be?
I wanted to be the wood one. The wood...
No, but there's three candles.
No, it's either whiskey, tobacco or oud and lemon.
There's three candles.
I'll go oud and lemon.
Oud and lemon.
I'll go tobacco.
I'll be whiskey. And then the last one, cedarwood, oak moss and pine needles.
Oak wood.
Oh, pine.
So what we'll do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to, over the course of the next week or so, we're going to smell these candles. And whichever is the nicest one we'll put on sale, they'll be retailing for in the guts of €89. And 45 cents.
Be a picture of us on the side.
Yeah, picture of our three faces. And
they'll burn out eventually.
And the crack, do we see whose face melts first? Years and years and years I've been looking forward to fucking doing this, and I done it yesterday. I went through me wardrobe like a man possessed, getting rid of stuff I'm never going to wear again. Never. Because I must have had about, I would say, the guts of 30 pairs of shoes. Now, what the fuck?
And you only wear one pair?
At
you?
A time.
Well,
like,
yes.
Like a lot of people. I remember, I can't remember when it happened, but I remember for most of my life only ever having one pair of shoes. Do you remember when you're kind of a gossin?
Yeah.
You'd have a pair of shoes and a pair of runners and that was it.
No, I only ever have a pair of runners. I wouldn't have a pair of
You'd be one of the lads that wear the shoes in PE.
No.
The one lad. Do you remember your man?
The socks.
With the socks and a pair of shoes and the squally legs.
Do you remember, like, when we were growing up, what were them shoes and they had the tips on them?
The brogues.
The brogues.
And you put these banana tips. You could buy a packet of banana tips with three, and you press it into the back of your heel. And
you'd be clicking going down like fucking Michael Flatley.
Banana tips at the
sparks.
Back.
Sparks.
And then you go, gunk, 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 gunk.
Like Spurs or something.
And I would say all through my 20s, I only ever had one pair of shoes.
So when did the shoe fetish begin then?
It wasn't a shoe fetish. Just you'd say, oh, I need a pair of shoes for this, or I need a pair of shoes for that. And you'd be... You know, you'd have different looks for different shows, stand-up shows. Oh, I need a pair, like I wore suits for a while. Oh, I need a pair of shoes for that and need a pair of shoes for that. Oh, fucking hell. So I went through, I'm down to about, I would say, 7 pairs of shoes now.
Mm.
Down from about 30, which is fucking weird. But I got rid of all my jeans.
Oh, because you don't wear jeans.
Yeah, he doesn't like jeans. I cannot understand that.
All the jeans, because jeans are fucking boys' clothes.
But why did you have them?
Stop,
I'm
Tommy.
A man.
Look at
it. Look at me now. Look at it.
Yeah,
look,
did
look.
You see what he's wearing here?
Tweed.
Tweed trousers, like a proper West of Ireland man.
Yes.
I'll be burning these fucking trousers.
It's like, they're nice. They are nice.
They're fucking tweed trousers for men.
But are they not itchy?
When I saw them in the kitchen this morning, I said, am I in fucking Litter Mullen here in 19...
And the fucking boots.
1952, Litter Mother. Cup on tea, Hector.
Are they itchy?
They're not itchy because they're lined on the inside.
There's a smell of mackerel off the fucking trousers. Look at them. Look, there's mackerel in
pollock. Rainproof, snowproof, muckproof, pukeproof, pissproof, drinkproof, coffee, tea, whiskey,
fireproof
trousers. I wear these
look
lay
at the day. Gussle,
so I'll be wearing these lay day. Look at them proper man trousers. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a pair of fucking jeans.
Fuck off.
Shut your mouth. I bought them in American Eagle.
And the first thing he does is go for the zip.
I bought them in American Eagle for $20 in fucking Arizona. And look at the gusset. It's expandable. It's elastic, which gives me the little bit of, a little bit of room. Look, expand. Myself and Roscoe
there's
were
an
in
expand
the,
button
we're
on
in
them.
The middle
horn
of nowhere.
Room. Right. Every trouser needs horn room.
How do you work with those ones?
Look at the size of them.
Oh, shoot, they're like clown trousers.
You'd have the horn down to your ankle, you wouldn't even be noticed.
A pair of jeans. I don't wear certain jeans anymore, but I won't.
Why not?
I won't wear Diesel or Levi's or anything. I'm way
why?
Past all of that. That's
why?
Fucking boys.
Up.
They're boys' jeans.
Children's
so
clothes.
Why? Do they make jeans for men?
Yeah, men's jeans.
What
I wear men's
called?
Jeans now. I
men
never,
don't wear jeans.
I will never wear a bootcut jean. I will never wear a pair of Timberland boots. And I'll never put my car keys on a little thing that I hang off.
Would
the
never do that.
Never,
ever,
ever, do,
ever
that.
Do that.
And they're still out there.
Now, tell me, what kind of jeans did you throw out? What, like, were they boot cut or were they...
I don't fucking know.
But why did you have them if you never wore them?
Because over the years...
No, you haven't worn jeans for at least 15 years now. So why do you have jeans?
No, I was wearing jeans last year.
Oh, you were?
And then I just stopped, yeah. So I got rid of Seven, is that a brand?
Yeah,
yeah,
for Mankind.
Yeah.
I used to have these jeans that you wouldn't wash. You'd never wash them. What were they fucking called now? They're special. It wasn't
they
D,
washed themselves.
They're special.
D-squared, was it?
Something. These jeans, they're made from pure denim. Like pure fucking denim. None of your factory shite. Denim that comes from like India or someplace
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, real denim.
And you, it's
Bangladeshi denim.
Bangladeshi denim. And you.
I think you should do the whole show on that.
You never wash them. And what the denim folds and creases and cracks into your ball shape and you have them for your life. You never wash them. And I wore them for
so
a little while.
They don't get smelly.
They don't get what sure the fuck no. Smelly.
And it's the funny thing is I remember having jeans back in Navan and we'd get the scissors at them and we said, right here, look at this, I'm going to cut me knee.
Oh yeah,
here. I'm going to show me knee. I'm going to cut me left hand side of the knee with the docks.
Oh yeah.
And we go, that is fucking cool. Do the other one, cut the other side. Yeah. And now look at you going to River Island or Zara,
like that.
Look at the way it's we were at that 30 years ago.
You were
I think
so you've decided that's it.
Well,
never
think,
going to come back to jeans.
What I think has happened is that men stay teenagers for their whole fucking lives and they never grow up. And they wear fucking jeans.
My father never had a pair of jeans. Never.
Because he's a man. He was probably a man from the age of 5.
Yeah. Imagine.
How old was he when he got his first cap?
He doesn't wear a cap.
He doesn't wear a cap, does he?
You don't have to have a cap to be
got,
a man.
He's got a full head of hair.
What age was he?
What age was he when he smoked his first wood? When he smoked his first
woodbine. Woodbine. Oh yeah, they were great.
Probably the day he made his first Holy Communion.
Probably. So you... jeans. No, Major they used to smoke. No.
Real fucking men.
John Payne Blue.
Major.
Smoke Major. 13 years of age.
Full box of tar.
Did your father finish school?
No, he
of
went
he
to a
because he's a man.
Yeah, yeah.
He left school at 11.
Yeah, he learned to hit people and he said, fuck, time to go to the farm.
Yeah.
What age was your dad when he drove a tractor?
Oh,
first.
I'd say.
Two
whenever
months,
they come out.
3 months
whenever
old.
They come out, yeah, tractors. Sure, he's out as long. He's as round as long as them.
Yeah, sure. Larissa's father was a farmer before there was tractors.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. He used to have to use a
plow
horse and cart.
It's probably with his own hands.
Hands, yeah, yeah. And a big chain around the stones, and you pull them. Then you know, with the cow or something on the. Front.
I couldn't. I on a Monday or a Tuesday morning. How could you go and reach for the shirt and the pair of pants?
Why?
How could
like
you
a man.
Do that? No,
like a man.
No, look it, look, and look
I've gay socks on. Have you noticed that? Do you remember
why?
That?
Gay socks.
Gay socks. Yeah.
Were they a brand?
No, it used to be a thing in Galway in the late '80s that if you were gay, you wore special socks. They were gay socks.
So people would identify you.
So people would know
flamboyant,
you were gay.
Flamboyant socks.
It wasn't because back then it was exciting to be gay because it was kind of underground.
Right.
And now everyone's gay.
Right. But these aren't gay socks. They're navy and white.
No, Alarita City.
They're like sailor
socks. Designs them. We spoke about this again.
Yeah, see,
Hector probably has pink ones on.
No,
I've got the black and whites today.
Yeah. Look at them socks.
Look at them.
But they're
monochrome,
not gay socks.
Monochromes.
They're not
right.
Gay socks. See, now, if any of our homosexual listeners would like to text us into the truth of this, it used to be a thing, if you wore stripy socks,
yeah,
it meant you were gay.
Oh, right.
That was the thing in Galway in about 88, 89.
Right.
You wore stripy. So what I'm doing is I'm stealing these socks back for the heterosexual community.
Excellent, Tommy.
In me man fucking trousers.
That's the next thing we'll bring out after the candles, a sock range.
Socks for heterosexual socks.
Heterosexual socks.
I just couldn't put on a pair of pants on a Tuesday. I like getting dressed up when there's an occasion. If I'm going to Cheltenham or if I have a communion or a wedding or something, I'll
so
get
I would
put pants on for special occasions and then it's a real treat.
Yeah.
You don't want to be doing that every day of the week.
What do you dress down in, Tommy?
Yeah. What?
What do you dress down in?
How do you mean? For relaxing?
Yeah.
I'm totally relaxed now. Look at me.
No, but do you ever say, oh, I don't want to get dressed up today. I'll dress down. Like, I'll put on a pair of jeans and a t-shirt.
I might put on my wife's nightdress.
And go out to the shops.
Walk around the house in my pyjamas. It's been a major...
What else did you throw out?
So I got rid of loads of shirts, I got rid of about 4 or 5 suits. I got rid of... all my jeans. I got rid of a load of denim shorts. Who the fuck? Kind of a fucking child is wearing denim shorts at the age of 52?
Hector was wearing one last
who
week.
The fuck? Who the fuck do I think I am? Sam Shepard. So I'm not wearing the fucking. I'm a man for cotton. See, and I found me scarves.
I'm a man for cotton.
I love cotton. And I love the colour of cotton. I love. And this is my little Indian twist.
Yeah, because you're taking a big. Theme, an Indian theme in your
yeah,
life.
I love
now.
It. So
well, I saw you on the paper yesterday and you had a very interesting shirt on. It was a grandfather shirt, if that's what you call them. Mm-hmm. And it had the heart from the Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart, yeah.
In it.
Yeah,
is it stitched onto it?
I didn't make that. So somebody just gave it to me to wear. But they were fine clothes. They were fine clothes in fairness.
And where did you send them?
Send what?
Where did you give them? Where are they?
Oh, they're in bags
and
they're about to go to the Simon community.
Oh, very good. They're going
very
out
good.
Somewhere
yeah, that,
useful.
That,
yeah.
We do that, the Vincent de Paul, and get rid of stuff.
I'll never forget the day my mother gave me favourite jacket away to the Traveller Elvis Gallet.
That's one of my favourite stories.
I'll never fucking forget
Tell
it.
Tell that story.
My favourite fucking jacket. Now, first of all, Elvis Gallet was a settled traveller in Navan and I thought he was dead.
Right.
I thought he was dead because a friend of mine, Jerry Boyle, had a lodger from the north and she came down the stairs in tears. And I says, what's wrong? And she says, Elvis is after dying. This is about 1977, 1978. She says, Elvis is after dying. And the only Elvis I knew was Elvis Kellett.
Right.
The traveller. And next time I saw him, his mother must have called to the house or something. And my mother gave him my jacket.
Now, describe your jacket.
It was an ordinary navy jacket that I had sewn patches onto. Status Quo and Liverpool. And it was all patches down the left arm, patches down the right arm.
And you loved that jacket.
Status Quo in Liverpool. That's all I lived for when I was 9.
You were only 9.
And your badges.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you like. And when they came to play in Navan, they played in Navan.
The exhibition centre.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I was the biggest Status Quo fan in the class. And I wasn't allowed to go to the concert.
Status Quo came to Navan.
I wasn't even allowed to go to fucking Bruce Springsteen when he was in Slane. That's how fucking tight my father was. We were 7 miles away in Navan and we could hear the bass drum. 7 miles away from Slane Castle over to Tritown Heights. And I says, I don't give a fuck what you think. I'm going now. And I walked to Slane.
And
Slane was full of fellas from Duleek and fucking Drogheda and Annagassan and fucking the Boss Headbands.
Oh, yeah.
Born down in a dead man's town. Force kick or took was when I hit the ground. End up like a dog that's been bet too much. You spend half your life just covering up. Come on. Born in the USA. I was born in the USA. I was born. And my father wanted to fucking stop me going to that.
He didn't. How dare he?
I walked.
How dare he?
The drum was calling me and I walked the 7 miles to Slane and I walked the 7 miles fucking home.
Did you buy a headband when you got there?
Who was waiting for me when I got home? Who the fuck was waiting for me? Kevin Tiernan with a big fucking repressed athlone head in him. And he said to me, did you go to Bruce Springsteen? And I just said, you don't know me. I said,
I said, you'll never know me. Because I was born in the US.
And I stood in front of him. Born down in a Danvers town. Went down to see my PA man. He said, son, don't you understand now? And I sang the whole of fucking Born in USA straight to his face.
And then you went down to bed.
And then I fucking walked past him up the stairs and he said, you're some fucking idiot. But anyway, so man clothes, man clothes.
What else did you... So you have nothing now in your cupboard, only man clothes.
I threw away loads of coats. It's a fantastic thing just to get the wardrobe down.
You seem decluttered today.
Yeah. Did you throw one on the bed and say, I'll take that back and put it back in? Yes, you must have.
I didn't.
Is there no sentimental clothes in there?
No. There was a pair of shoes that my wife wanted to keep because I wore them when I met her. But that was it. Everything's
did you keep your wedding suit?
Suit, yeah.
Oh, jeez, I haven't seen it. My wedding suit doesn't... It's not. Yeah, no, I don't know. I haven't seen the wedding suit.
It doesn't suit you, what you want to say?
Yeah, it doesn't suit me.
I mean, like, why?
It's the wrong colour.
Well, you picked it.
We were all bottle blue on the day
of
the wedding.
No, I didn't.
You didn't pick your own wedding suit?
No.
Who did?
Who do you think?
The man in the shop.
What?
No.
His wife. My resplendent wife of impeccable
taste. Well, she picked your suit.
She picked everything.
She picked everything.
And she picked yours as well. Yeah. You all wore light blue.
Light blue. Great weekend. A great weekend.
It was good.
Talking about concerts, go back to the concerts there because go back to Status Quo.
I wasn't allowed to go to Status Quo. Imagine that.
But Bad Manners played Navan as well and the Scars came down from Dublin and I never forget them outside the Chipper. Hundreds of skinhead Scars and everything with Harrington jackets and Bad Manners played the exhibition centre.
Didn't Meatloaf play in Moat as well? Someone sent me that during the week.
Moatloaf.
Meatloaf. What was his name?
My mother, if there was a concert on, Trina, we had a yellow Citroen Visa car. And we'd say, me and Freddie would say to her, would you drop us down to the convention? Would you drop us down to the exhibition centre there? We'll see you. We'll sit there and have a look at the Status Quo.
Oh, yeah.
Trina would say, okay. And so we'd all hop down and we'd sit outside and watch the denim, the rockers going in.
Yeah.
And then I said, Mom, you wouldn't, one Sunday about 11 o'clock, 1983, middle of July. Freddie said, Mom, you wouldn't. If we get the paper, will you drive us up to the Phoenix Park? There's a concert on called U2 are playing and Simple Minds. And we were massive U2 and Simple Minds fans.
Oh, yeah.
And Trina said, okay, should we go up for a look? Sunday. Once we got her the Sunday paper in the car, she was happy for the crossword, right?
Oh, so she'd stay.
So we trundled all up the road, up through Cluny and Mulhuddart, all the way up around the Ashtown tin box. And then we could see Blanchardstown. We got through Blanchardstown and then we could see the Ashtown tin box and then Castleknock and then we just saw the Phoenix Park and you could hear the... And we said, Mom, pull in here. We'll go for a look. Me and Freddie had the goo on us for Simple fucking Minds. Simple Minds and U2, Big Country, the Eurythmics. It was Steel Pulse. What a lineup. We said, Jesus Christ. So if we said, we'll be back in an hour. We'll go for a walk. Trina pulls up the Citroen Visa, opens up the paper. All we could see when we looked back at the windscreen was the paper up. She was happy. She'd have a little snooze as well.
And did you go into the gig?
We snuck our way into U2 through a hedge, over a fence. And all of a sudden, on a Sunday afternoon, me and my brother, I was 13, he was 14, 15. And we were going, fuck, Freddie, we're in. We're in. There were people going around with tour concert T-shirts. We were like going, this is fucking amazing. Look at this Big Country. We go up the front. 9 hours later.
And no phones, of course.
9 hours later, we came back out of the venue and Trina was like,
"You,
that took a while, didn't it? What happened?" I says, Mum, we got in. So she was
happy with it.
She was happy. She did. She said, you were safe. You were all right. We saw Big Country. We saw the Eurythmics. We saw Simple Minds. And we saw U2. And the U2 were on, it was the War, the picture of the War album behind. What a Sunday afternoon. 1 minute you're in the kitchen and having gone, Mum, you wouldn't drop us up to, but we go for a spin just to see what it's like. And all of a sudden we got into
what a great thing for
no chance Kevin Tiernan would bring him up.
No fucking way. I remember
up to Dublin.
I remember I bought a Christa Berg tape because Christa Berg was a great storyteller.
Right.
There's a Spanish train that runs between Guadalquivir and Old Seville. And in the dead of night the whistle blows and you can hear him still. It's about the devil getting on a train and playing poker for souls.
My God.
but he had his.
What was the one in the tunnel at the wood? The tunnel in the wood. What was that? No, the one, the love song, and it was a tunnel. The video was like one coming down a tunnel at dark at night, and
was she escaping from jail or something?
What was this big love song? What was this big
Lady in red?
But this is way before this. This is around the time of a spaceman came traveling in a ship from afar. 'Twas light years of time since his mission did start, and over a village
he halted
his craft. Get the candle, gonna light the candle.
It hung in the sky like a star.
And does a flute come in then?
Yeah.
Years when this time has gone by. The song will begin once again to a baby's cry. But what I loved about Christopher Guest, I fucking loved him, was the storytelling.
Yeah.
Brilliant fucking storytelling. But he also, I remember I was playing the tape one day in the relations. We didn't have a tape recorder, so we had to buy tapes, and then we'd wait till we drove that load before we listened to them. So my auntie Emer had a tape recorder in her house, and I couldn't fucking wait. I was holding it in my palm all day in the drive, and we got there and I was playing fucking the story. Christopher's storytelling was phenomenal, but he had a song called Patricia the Stripper.
Oh yeah, I love
yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. With the swing of her hips, she started to and that's as far as I got.
Why? Oh, he took
Kevin Tiernan just said, "Turn off that shite." What the fuck is this? Sunday afternoon, your Auntie Emo's on your fucking... I'll teach you a lesson you'll never fucking forget.
Don't tell me, bro.
Give me that tape. Give me that fucking tape. And he ate it. He fucking ate it.
I thought he was going to pull out the...
Another time, like, when tapes were just getting popular, you know, and what they used to do in the car was that one child would have one song and another child would have another song, or you'd pick yeah. songs. So my sister Niamh and my brother Brian were in the car and they were taking a song each. And Niamh had her song and then another fucking rap song. Come on. And Niamh said to Brian, turn that off. Right, because she knew what was in it. But Brian didn't know. So I like the song. And Niamh said, no, turn it off. My father was driving. Who's in this song? So they let the song play. This line, you're just jealous because your dad gets more pussy than you do.
Oh, Jesus.
Kevin, well, he couldn't. He was sticking his hand into the fucking air conditioner, into the fucking glove box. He was trying to eject. He was trying to get the tape out without pressing eject. Driving the fingers in through the fucking hole as if he could pull the radio out by the fucking wire.
Eject. We'll never listen to any shite again.
Oh. Oh. Ah, tough days.
We got into the tape manufacturing then, though, in first year. Remember?
Oh yeah, fellas making tapes.
Oh, yeah.
3-pack of Memorex and sell the tapes then for £1 or £2.
I'm looking at your bum while I'm bumming you. I'm looking at your bum while I'm bumming you.
Chris de Borg, Tommy, that is.
Oh yeah, remember Chris? Brilliant.
No, it's not. No,
don't pay the ferryman.
That's the one I'm on about.
Don't even fix a price. Don't pay the ferryman until he gets you to the other side.
Oh my God.
Don't pay. The ferryman!
But that's the video, isn't
he
it? He's
not
isn't
going
it,
to become record
Isn't that the video?
Artist.
There was a guy who was all a smoke machine in a canal and he's trying to bring him
across the River Styx.
Across the River Styx!
Into Hades.
Oedipus was there! That's the video I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but do you remember he played
Go it? Bay the ferryman!
He played it at Self Aid. Self Aid was like Live Aid, except it was just for Ireland.
This is the new single!
Don't pay the ferryman. Fucking
there was about 8,000 in the RDS.
8,000 people
in the rain.
Audience.
In the
Don't
rain.
Don't pay the ferryman. Don't even fix a price. Don't pay the ferryman until he gets you to the other side. Don't pay
the ferryman. We thought we were fucking cool
legends.
Where were you? That's him. You had self-aid, you lucky bastard. Oh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Today, or tomorrow, or one of the days, is Lent.
Oh yes, I've been thinking about this very deeply this year.
And I wanted to give up something. Now, I'm prone to the dramatic gesture.
Right.
Do you know, there's very little balance in me.
Right.
I would go from one extreme to another.
Yes.
So I said to the wife, I want to give up something. And she was like, oh, Jesus, because she would be more concerned about the effect of what I give up has on her than what it does on me.
Yes.
So I said to her I was going to give up whiskey for Lent. And she said, you're not allowed. She said that when I don't have a buzz to look forward to in the evening, I get hard cranky.
Ah.
So me giving up whiskey would have
negative impact
on her. Okay. So I'm not allowed to give up whiskey.
Good. I think she's right.
So I'm trying to figure out what to give up instead.
I'm going to give up sugar in all its forms.
That's too hard, Larita.
I know, but I'm going to try. You have to go big or go home.
That's a car crash if it fucking... Your body will
die.
Like hitting a wall.
So...
Yeah, that's an extreme thing now.
I know, but it's a good time to take that opportunity to do it.
And how many...
Lent.
Are you 3 spoons in a cup?
Oh, no, I wouldn't have any... I don't take sugar in anything. Like,
so
I don't
chocolate.
Take spoons of sugar. But I'm going to try and give up chocolate or...
Biscuits.
Well, I don't really eat biscuits, but I do eat chocolate or I eat... Like, I bake stuff that you don't like, which I'm not doing anymore, you'll notice.
Yes.
Yes. So, and there's a lot of sugar in baking and all that. So
do you feel as if you need to give up sugar?
Yes, I'd like to.
So no baking.
Yes, no baking.
And no chocolate and no biscuits and no sweets.
No sweets. No sugar of...
No problem.
For 40 days.
But I am not going to give up alcohol. So if there's sugar in alcohol, I'll have to keep drinking that.
wouldn't be a fierce amount in it now, in fairness.
Yeah, so I'm going
to
drive
on. Tell me, would you offer it up to God? Where does God come in the whole...
I'm going to revisit that this year.
In what sense?
Because I haven't given up anything. I haven't practiced Lent for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So I think
it's hard to get it right.
So I'm going to let sugar out and let Jesus in for Lent.
And how are you going to let... I understand how you can let...
Has Jesus been around you in any form?
I'm not sure. I haven't actively been in touch with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So maybe now I'll...
People who... Psychonauts, as in the imaginative version of an astronaut.
Oh, I thought that was...
Like an astronaut.
I thought that was your maid accent.
No, so an astronaut would go to space.
Yes.
But a psychonaut would go into your own mind. Right. Do you know what I mean? That's where his travelling is done. And there have been great psychonauts over the years. St. John of the Cross, Therese of Avila.
Where is this going?
But they would say, a lot of people, they would say, in terms of you're saying that I'd like to let Jesus into my life. They would say that they've gone on these big journeys into their own selves. And they would say that God is closer to me than I am to myself. Now that's a wild one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like someone describing a planet that's never been seen. and trying to get across to somebody else's imagination what it looks like. It's fucking impossible, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really buy into that stuff. Yeah. That's too
Give me that statement again one more time so we can...
God is closer to me than I am to myself.
Wow, that's a serious statement. Who says? Who said that?
All these psychonauts say it. All these
did you ever say it?
Just about a minute ago.
Yeah, but did you ever actually...
Feel it?
Yeah, feel
no,
it.
No. That's, like I said, that's a postcard from a place I have never been.
Yeah. Me too. I'm not sure I'm going to take that approach to life for Lent, but...
What I was half thinking of doing for Lent. was I'm going to stop buying books on Amazon.
Yeah, good idea.
I've gotten into the habit over the past 40 years of buying a lot of them. So I'm going to stop
I think you have enough.
I've stopped that. But I was thinking of doing is only reading the Bible for Lent.
Harry, you've done that before, have you?
Tommy, not really. You know it inside out at this stage.
No, I don't.
You do.
No, I don't.
What side of it would you read?
I know how it ends, but I don't know.
What side of it would you read? Which one?
I do a reading from the Old Testament and a reading from the New Testament.
Every day?
Yeah, for Lent. And what I could do, I could report back to you on how I'm getting on.
Definitely don't give up whiskey and start that, because that would be a disaster if you give up the whiskey.
But would you, and I could come back each week and tell you how I'm getting on and what's happening.
Yeah.
You could read us.
And maybe that'll help me on my journey.
You could read us an excerpt.
Out of his head, whatever he interprets it as.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I'm going to give up. For fuck's sake, I didn't really think. I might give up fresh air.
What?
Just stay inside, for fuck's sake, for once.
No, everyone's
out
there.
Everyone's out. Go outside. Do yet if they stay. Just stay inside and give up fresh air. I don't know what I'll. I don't think about stuff like that. I am drinking coffee.
What do you mean you don't think about stuff like that?
I don't think about Lent and giving
up. Do you live in the minute?
I haven't drank since Christmas. I had a good sup. I had a good sup at Christmas. There was one night I had about a 10 or 11 Carlsberg.
Pints.
And about six gin and tonics. And then I did Phil Christmas Eve and then I gave it up. And no, having said that, New Year's Eve I did open a bottle of Powers.
Oh, yeah.
And I had half a bottle of Powers.
Half a bottle?
In one night?
Good God.
Yeah, but I was talking to...
Harry, you've drank enough of the Christmas
I did a Zoom call at 1:30 to a friend of mine. We were talking to music and that's how sad it was. And I haven't drank since that, Tommy. I haven't drank since
And what was the effect of the whiskey on you? Did you get angry?
No, I got lovely and gooey.
Gooey
and warm. And I was drinking it with ice. And a little drop of ginger, I don't know, not tonic or I don't know what it was in it, but I haven't drank since Christmas. I'm not a big drinker at home. I can't open, I have no interest in a glass of wine on Saturday night watching Graham Norton or anything. So I'm alcohol to me to give up alcohol.
Wait, watching Tommy Tiernan, you mean watching Tommy Tiernan? Jesus Christ.
Graham Norton.
I don't even know.
That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
That's like me saying, oh, I drove up through Mayo there and I bought a
Freudian slip there, wasn't it?
And I bought a Brafey jersey.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. You know.
So you're.
I don't know about alcohol. I don't have to. I don't feel the need to. I like having a good sup, but only when the reason is good, Tommy.
So tell me this now. Your mam was a fantastically religious person. So when you were boys growing up, Lent must have meant something to you.
Giving up chocolate, giving up biscuits. Lent was that.
And yeah, that came from mam.
Yeah.
Mam said there's no biscuits in this house until Christ is up from the dead.
No bourbon creams, no custard creams, no lemon creams. Mikados. None of that. And it was...
You just did it.
We just did it. It was Nav and it was the early 80s.
But you wouldn't have the confidence as a parent to insist on that in your own house now.
No, I bought them cream eggs the other day and I'm buying 5 or 6 cream eggs at a time and I asked them in the evening time about an hour after dinner, who wants a treat? Because I see them and they'll go, me and him. Yeah. And I bring them in cream eggs and I spoil them. And will I ask them to give up something? No.
No. But they won't give up anything, but will they also then get loads of treats on Easter Sunday?
Or they'll have the...
Even though they've done nothing to deserve it.
Well, the days of Easter eggs in our house, 5 or 6 Easter eggs on top of the television is sort of waning a little bit with 15, 16-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember... You'd have your Easter egg for 40 days waiting on top of the telly.
What?
Yes. Teasing you.
No,
but you go into a supermarket now, the Easter eggs are there.
I know, ours is just to appear. I don't know.
Magically.
Did you have Easter bunnies up there?
In Navan?
Yeah.
The town was fucking...
What is the point of giving up something, by the way?
What is the point?
What is the point of all of this?
I suppose it's, I don't know. Would be the answer to that question.
It's to Maybe it's to appreciate things when you get the back.
I appreciate a lovely record Spuds I've got last week. I say to myself, they're lovely Spuds.
Well, I think all children should be made practice Lent just out of pure and utter because they're all Spuds.
At this
now.
Particular moment Jeez. In time. Yeah. We've had Lent since we're 11 months into Lent at this
and
stage.
Then they get
this
and then
the fucking Lent is going on for fucking
and then they get 800 Easter eggs.
This Lent is so long, Christ himself will come out of the desert. But why is this is not working for me anyway? I don't know how the rest.
Exactly. What did I see during the week? Fucking 2000 BC before COVID. This is fucking yeah, this is ridiculous.
Ah, maybe we but sure like nobody gives up stuff now anyway, do they?
I think
nobody
they do,
practices
yeah.
How
Lent.
about getting would you have the ashes put on your forehead Ash Wednesday, which is tomorrow.
I heard on the radio, coming up on the local radio, that some parish priests are leaving the ashes in little bags outside the house.
I'm lucky I don't have COVID.
Sorry, Ash.
That's an important
no,
thing.
No, I sneeze with allergies, but that, what I've taken to now is instead, because you if you sneeze in public now, people will get worried about
awful.
You.
Awful.
So I just, when I'm sneezing, I say that.
He didn't sneeze in
I don't have
either.
COVID.
It's okay.
While he's spreading it all over everyone.
So
the priests are leaving them in little bags outside the church and people are able to go and collect them. I did
like the blessing of the throats when I was young because I used to get awful tonsillitis. Awful tonsils. I do like that double candle round. And speaking of candles, the double candle round.
What is that?
The blessing, St. Blaise's Day.
St. Blaise's Day. That's gone past now, hasn't it?
That was an amazing day.
What is that?
You'd get the candles crisscrossed.
And he crisscrossed them on your throat.
I used to have to get that too.
Did you?
But it never worked for me. But my brother had tonsillitis really bad and he went to a faith healer.
Yes.
Right? And the faith healer lived down outside Sligo somewhere. And he rang him one day and he says, can you come down? Yeah, I'm meeting at 8 o'clock. You need to come down. It was a winter's night. And he says to him, I'll meet you outside the graveyard. So my brother says, okay, pulled up outside the graveyard, jumped into your man's car. And
very trusting.
Yes. And you know what he did? He said it was completely. So your man leaned over to him in the passenger seat and he started
licking his neck.
Blowing down his throat.
Stop.
Like in his mouth.
Yeah, open your mouth now, he says.
Open your mouth. Where was your dad? Who brought him down?
I don't know. He was big. He was about, I don't know, he was in his 20s. Like. Go on his own.
Sligo blowjob.
Yeah. Open your mouth now. And he opened his mouth and he says to him, now I'm going to blow into your mouth 3 times. At which point, outside the graveyard, I think I would have left.
And what did your brother do?
He opened his mouth and then he says, I was sitting there with my mouth open going, what?
And did he lean across the passenger seat and go right over him?
Yeah, he leaned over and he went like this. And then, that's all right now. See you again, right? So he did it like maybe three times.
For money?
No, he didn't do it for money. So he, you know those seventh sons of the seventh son or whatever. Yes. So I think, I don't know, he didn't give him any money. He didn't take any money.
And did he cure it?
I think so. He hasn't had them as bad, he says, since.
Tell me about the candles on the throat.
The candles on the throat is a long-standing religious tradition.
Yeah.
And I don't know if obviously those traditions are waning now with the way, but I was first in the queue.
Frog marched up,
tonsils.
In
bad,
the church.
Yeah.
In the church, getting the throat blessed.
So two candles.
And
lit.
Crisscrossed. And then he'd say the magic prayer.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
And then you'd put your chin in
and then he'd bless the quick blessing.
Can I ask you a question? If the candles weren't being lit, why have
candles? They were
candles?
Blessed.
They were
say.
Blessed candles.
They were the blessed candles and the priest was the only one that could put them on.
It would have been more interesting if they were lit, wouldn't it? It'd be more kind of...
What, set your ears on fire?
And it's funny that my second lad, Shane, suffered awful bad from tonsils.
But did they work for you? Did they work for you?
Terrible affliction. Huh?
Did it work for you?
It did. It did, yeah. I didn't get my tonsils out, whereas now, or your adenomas, as they call them now, or any of that. No, I didn't get them out. But nowadays, tonsillitis is rampant, and a lot of children are suffering in
silence.
We went into, I'll tell you about this. My second lad got tonsils so bad, maybe 7 or 8 times a year as a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, we would bring a powdered antibiotic, a really strong antibiotic with us. If we're going away for the weekend or going anywhere, we'd have it just in case. Because, temperature up, put your hand on and two.
Mm. And him in pain.
Him in real pain. So we finally went to see the consultant. He was 5 years of age. And he was sitting down playing on the ground beside him and in the consultant's room in Galway. And the consultant said, so have you, how often does he get his tonsils? How often does he get them? And my wife said, he gets them about 6 times a year. And he went, oh, that's quite regular. And he said, and has nobody told you that he needs to get them out? He said he should have had them out about 2 years of it, like 3 years ago. So they whipped them out on the Monday and he's... Obviously,
It's hard to get tonsillitis when you don't have tonsils.
No.
Absolutely. Well, actually, but the young lad was going through pain. He said they should have been out a long time ago. And so,
and what was the heads? Why did he not get them out before that?
Because we were just up to the doctor, across to the chemist, get the antibiotic, load it up in the syringe, down his gullet, and that'll be it. Take down the temperature. And as young parents, you'll be having a clue. But that is the story of tonsils. Yeah. But St. Blaise's...
I got mine out when I was 16. Dr. Najaraji was my consultant in Sligo. And he...
Doctor who?
Najaraji.
Najaraji. Dr. Najaraji.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You sound like him.
See, I'm developing a huge love for Hinduism.
Right.
Which we can talk about later, but I'm watching a show at the moment. I just love that. I'm mad for the Hindus.
Right.
I'm fucking mad for the Hindus.
Yes.
Hector's got a big Hindu tattoo in his back.
My full back. Have you seen my full back Hindu?
No.
I'll show you it later, but.
Okay.
Just for people to know, if his back was a pool table, the whole thing would be covered. Do you know what I'm saying to you?
Whole back. I have a Shiva. It's the goddess of creation.
Yeah. So I'm mad for the Hindu stuff. I'm mad for
Hanuman and all the boys.
Wow. I'm mad for their attitude.
For sex, Hindu sex is fantastic.
But what has drawn you to this?
What has drawn me to it? Well, I would just have an interest in religion in general, but I discovered this improvised singing by a lady called Kaushiki.
Right.
And they set up a drone. And then the singer improvises in and around that for about a week, nonstop, until they
die.
And I just love it. So from there, I got into, there's a program on Netflix now called Delhi Crime. Delhi Crime is about a detective in Delhi and an awful thing has happened and we must find out who did it because the whole wide world is watching us now. And I love it. And sometimes they speak, because of the colonial past, sometimes they speak in English. What do you send to me? You can do that. She goes to the checkpoint. One of the cards, the checkpoint they're working for so many days is... Are you stoned? Are you stoned working on the checkpoint? I have been working for 4 days without a break. Why would I not be stoned? You cannot be doing this now. And then they break into Hindi. And it will go from into subtitles then. I don't give a damn. What is happening?
It's mayhem. I'm going
to Toronto. I want to move to Toronto. Why are you going to Toronto? Because Delhi is not good. Not good in Delhi. There is nothing happening here in Delhi. I don't know what I'm saying to you. And I fucking love it.
Jesus, it's pandemonium in that program.
And I love the big women. They're big women. Oh, look at me. And their attitude to sex. See, our attitude to sex is, have you noticed, like, it can get righty. When people talk, the whole notion of talking dirty to another. Right. Fuck me, you big cunt.
Jesus Christ.
Do you know what I mean? It's all.
So you're either going around your day-to-day life normal and then all of a sudden you break into dirty talk.
No, what I'm saying is that because sex is repressed in Ireland.
Yeah.
When it comes out as the forbidden.
Right, yeah.
So it's all, look at me, look at the cock, look at the fucking the shaft and that, look at the fucking, I'm banging off your face.
You'll always bloody bring it down.
So what I'm saying is that, sexual energy in Ireland is repressed, so that's how it can come out. But in Hinduism, the sexual energy, rub your finger around my rectum.
Does this in come up in
clockwise?
So in the middle of the crime drama.
So it's all about it's in India they're very holistic and it's about chakras. Well, you got to
put your finger on my chakra.
Before I do anything, now you must work on my different chakras and open it up there. Now look at and the big women, big huge women, massive brown knockers, and they're like, work my chakra. Just do it now. No work, my chakra. Do it now. Take your finger, rub your finger on my asshole. Rub it. Do not. I am telling you, my chakra shut. Don't put it in. Just rub it. Rub it round there. Or Delhi, rub it.
Is this a Hindu porn program?
It's called Delhi Crime.
Delhi Crime
for adults.
I know, no, the sex thing is just my imagination.
Oh, right, that's you've carried
that's
on.
That's brilliant.
From
so how did we get onto that?
I have
you
a story.
You said you wanted to talk about Hindus. No, you, I was talking. No. Oh, I told you my doctor's name after.
Oh, Doctor Doctor Ashari.
Najaraji.
I would like to phone him up and tell him I am a great fan of your culture.
Yeah. Well, he died now, and I'm not sure that he was Indian either. But, like you know, so just so well, just so you know.
Well, you just fucking sent me on a big dummy one there.
He was from Israel. He was from Israel.
I'm not sure.
Where was he from?
Well, I don't know. He lived in Sligo.
I don't think he was Indian.
What colour was he?
I don't
he was black.
Like.
Yeah, he was from Nigeria, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a Nigerian.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, he didn't sound like a Nigerian.
What was his name?
He was from the Philippines.
Dr. Najaraji.
He was from the Philippines.
Najaraji?
Yeah.
That's not a very African name. Usually like Mokwembe.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I think the man has passed away since, so I'm not really, I can't follow up on his
what happened?
If someone could send us a photograph of the gravestone. Just get his name.
But they would know him. Loads of people know, will have got their tonsils out by him in Sligo, I'd say. He was there for years and years and years and years in Sligo Hospital.
When is St. Blaise's Day?
I think we've passed it, yeah.
Loretta, we might go, you don't need to, you have your
B-L-A-Z-E.
St. Blaise had the cure for tonsils.
St. Blaise, you never heard of him. You'll come across him now when you're reading the Bible, I imagine.
For a man who reads the Bible so much, you didn't even hear of St. Blaise.
No, you didn't know him.
On the four.
I bet you St. Blaise is somebody who happened after the Bible. He sounds French.
Nothing ever.
Oh, maybe he came up with
St. Blaise.
What, would he have come up with the cure for throats?
In the same way that in Hinduism, you have gods for this and you have gods for that. You have more gods than, you have as many gods as you have people in Hinduism. It's just, there's a ritual for leaving the house. There's a ritual for getting into the car. There's a ritual, there's a god to protect you for whatever you want. In Irish Catholicism, we have saints, like St. Kevin. St. Kevin was able to talk to animals. He lived in Glendalough and he was able to talk to foxes. He could fucking, Rita, he could, this is a fact. He sent the fox on messages, get his fags.
Really?
And the fox is going to turn.
And make things for him.
And get fags, bring back.
Yeah.
So our tradition is just as colourful and
exotic. How would be your favourite aunt? Who would be your favourite saint?
My favourite saint? I would have a soft spot for Kevin. I can't think of any other.
What about St. Christopher? He was a good lad.
He's the traveller.
Yeah, I've sent Michael.
What's he for?
For my confirmation.
Did you?
Isn't that funny? And I know
because you're a traveller.
I know I'm a traveller.
Yeah. What?
That's St. Michael. He's a patron saint of something.
What is it?
I don't know.
Why do you have him then?
Someone gave him a present.
In Hinduism, they would have the patron saint. You'd have for cars, for holidays, for banks, for going to the post office. They have a god for everything.
Yes.
For going to the bank?
They have a god for bank if you need good luck. Same in Buddhism. They go and pray for everything then.
But we have the same with saints. The saints of this, the saint of that.
Yes, I suppose. I suppose it is.
Lays the saint of your throat. Throat saint. Yeah. It's all the same.
St. Bridget.
Yeah, she's of
crosses.
Reeds.
Crosses.
Yeah, yeah. So we'd just like to say that the reason we're able to do the podcast every week is because we take a Covisol test.
Covisol test, yeah.
which Larissa takes one, I take one, and Hector takes one. And that it doesn't tell us if we have COVID. It tells us if we're contagious.
It tells you if you're negative or you're positive. If you have it, it'll tell you.
It doesn't tell you the time of the day,
Tommy. It will tell you have it. If you've got COVID,
it'll say negative or positive, Tommy. That's why we're here.
But you can get negative and still have COVID, but you won't be contagious.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not really sure, but
all
it works.
But we're all COVID-free
today. So Covisol is the thing.
Covisol.ie.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure talking to you this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. God bless, good luck, and goodbye. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.